Let's get out to the Band of Brothers hotline and bring in Evan Brennan. He's the director of football operations at Seven Sports Group. He represents DeAndre Wesley, Paul Lasique, Solomon Ikafu, Sky Pove, and Jordan Leslie. He's been working day and night to get these guys on teams, get them contracts, and I think he's doing a great job. Evan, how you living?
I'm doing well, my friend. How you doing?
Doing awesome. Evan, you know, I don't know if this is an easier time or a harder time for you. You know, when you're going through the pro day preparations, getting guys to the right camp with the right trainer, that can all be very stressful. Which segment of this process is more stressful for you? And would you say it's that beginning process, getting them through the pro day, getting your contacts out there, trying to figure out what the depth chart's like, or is it during that war room draft day period, or is it during this time right now where, you know, some guys might get cut and you're still trying to find a spot for them?
So it depends on the guy, obviously, but, you know, every case is different. This is an interesting time right now. You get guys that are cut or just didn't have a mini camp invite. Hopefully you're not in that situation too often, but every now and again you are, and you work to try to get them a contract. And this year we've been pretty successful so far.
So there were some camps this past weekend. Give us an update on some of our guys here that you're representing. Let's start off with DeAndre Wesley, towering offensive tackle that showed well at the pro day. I thought he looked explosive. His vertical jump, thought his 40 was solid. His broad jump was elite. Tell us how he's doing so far in camp.
Well, it's great with DeAndre. DeAndre actually had quite a few offers after the draft, and so he kind of had a choice of where he wanted to go. The Ravens at the time didn't really have a whole lot in their depth chart at offensive tackle. I'd worked with the Ravens before on a number of deals and was well acquainted with their staff and their scouting department. He's done well there. He's got a real chance to fight for hopefully a practice squad or maybe even an active roster spot if things go right. I've been in contact with him, and he's really excited about his prospects of being a part of the Ravens.
So that's why he chose the Ravens, because of the depth chart. And that's research that you did prior, correct? What other offers did he entertain? What other teams did he say, oh, that might be a good situation as well?
I know Jacksonville came in there. I know that San Diego came and got involved. Atlanta came and looked at him. Off the top of my head, those are some that stick out. But, I mean, there were at least 10 teams, if not more, that came in. I mean, he's a huge body. He's very athletic, and that's very, very interesting at NFL teams. And so he kind of had his pick of the litter. But Baltimore at the time, if I remember right, only had four tackles on their whole roster. And so that's a good spot.
Let's move on. Paul Lasique. We've heard a lot about Paul, a phenomenal rugby player and football player. I believe he signed a deal before camp even started. Who was interested in Paul and why?
Paul's an interesting deal. Paul, the team that ended up signing was the Arizona Cardinals, and they showed the most love to Paul throughout the entire process. Interestingly enough, actually the BYU coaching staff, in particular Coach Atawaya and Coach Holiday, were pretty instrumental in this one. They really, really championed Paul to the Cardinals and other teams. And I have to give my tip of the hat to the coaching staff at BYU for really pushing that. He had some tryout offers initially, but the Cardinals came through in the 11th hour, and they actually made some roster adjustments to bring Paul on board, which was huge.
What was it that Coach Holiday and Coach Atawaya were selling about Paul? What did they say to this coaching staff? And was there a particular coach in that you were referencing that they had a better relationship with?
Well, I mean, what happens is the scouts and also positional coaches will reach out a lot to coaching staff members, and they'll ask how a player is, how he plays, and they ask a lot about Paul's toughness, about Paul's character, about Paul's willingness to do certain things. And I mean, both those coaches that I just mentioned went above and beyond what was asked of them in order to really, really push Paul to the Arizona staff, particularly the running backs coach in Arizona, and it was huge. It was hugely instrumental, and this deal, in large part, lays at their feet in a very positive manner.
Evan, can you break down what a mini camp really is for these guys? What do they do there, and how much do you need to prep them on here's what you're going to face when you're in this camp?
The first thing, and probably the most important thing, is the physical. What happens is these guys will fly in under the assumption that they are healthy. fact, part of the contract, depending on the team, and most teams says, hey, I mean, if you're healthy and you disclose any injuries, you'll be good to go. But if you're not healthy or you don't disclose injuries, this contract is null and void. So, you know, one of the first things they do is they have a physical. And if they pass physical, they proceed to the next part of camp. If they don't, if they're under contract or they've been offered a contract, they'll put them right back on a plane. And so you want to tell guys, hey, look, you may have just signed a contract with the team, or you may have not signed a contract with the team. If you signed a contract with the team or been offered a contract with the team and you fly out there and you fail the physical, they'll send you right on a plane back. And same for the other guys that are on there on a tryout basis. Hey, if someone fails a physical and they're at the same position that you're at and they have or they have been offered a contract and you haven't, maybe that's an opportunity for you. So that's the first thing. The next thing is make plays. Go out there and make plays, be assignment sound, and stand out. If you don't stand out, you may, you know, not get that contract offer you're looking for.
Are there more one-on-ones? Is there team segments? Typically, are they doing just regular old drills? Is it a combination of all those things?
I mean, they'll probably, in a lot of respects, start, if it's an offensive player, they'll, you know, try to see how quickly they can pick up the terminology, see how quickly they can implement certain parts of the playbook. On defense, the same kind of thing. I mean, they'll run positional drills, one-on-one, stuff like that, but they'll try to, you know, start the offense, start the defense to a certain degree and see how quickly players can pick it up and how quickly they can make plays in that offense or in that defense.
Evan Brennan, the Director of Football Operations at Seven Sports Group, on with us here, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. I wanted to talk a little bit more in depth about the job that Atuaya and Holiday were able to accomplish. You said they were instrumental in getting Paul Asike that contract with the Arizona Cardinals. I have to wonder, how important is it for coaches from these respective schools, including BYU, to really sell these young men that they believe in that can play at that next level? And have you heard other coaches around the country doing the same thing in order to get these young men on football teams?
Well, yeah. I mean, it happened quite a bit. I was actually down at the BYU Pro Day, and Coach Mendenhall went out of his way to really promote Sky Pove to a certain AFC scout, if my memory serves me correct. And yes, I deal with coaches all the time around the country. I represent players at various schools, and a relationship, and more importantly, a credibility that a coach may have with NFL teams can go a long, long way. Coaches sometimes, in order to protect their credibility, may not want to really put their stamp on a player if they don't feel that he's going to really make it in the league, but vice versa, if they really feel strongly and they have a great rapport and they have a lot of credibility, it can be very, very helpful. And I know I'm personally very thankful to what Coach Holiday and Coach Atuaya did with Paul, and it made my job a lot easier.
Give us an update on Solo Kafu. I had heard rumblings that he was going to play some nose tackle for the Cardinals at this mini camp. How did he do? Is he still on the team?
So here's the deal with Solo. Solo did go down to Arizona. He actually played guard and a little tiny bit of nose tackle. They decided at this juncture not to sign him. But what they do is some of their mini camp invitees, and almost all teams do this, is they keep kind of a hot list. Some guys that didn't perform very well as a minicamp invitee, they don't stay on the hot list. Solo got a great recommendation from the offensive line coach, and he remains on the hot list as someone that they will entertain bringing back. And you'll see this throughout the summer, you know, for a possible contract offer later on this summer.
So is that determined by injuries, depth chart, et cetera?
Even performance. Let's say you have a guy they have under contract, and they get into training camp, and the guy just really isn't cutting it. Well, look around. Look around for sure, and if it's a guard or even a defensive line, they'll take another look at Solo.
Did they say if he performed better as guard or at nose tackle?
A guard. They like him as guard. He did a great job. The off-the-line coach was very complimentary.
Give us an update on Sky Pove. He was with the Green Bay Packers. Did he get signed? Tell us how he did.
So I actually just had that phone call recently with a good friend of mine who's an executive with the Green Bay Packers, well-known executive there. And the staff at Green Bay was highly complimentary of Sky. They like Sky because how quick he moves, and that's the reason they brought him in. They like how smart he was and how productive he was. He remains very high on their hot list. He was not signed. The Packers did not sign any safeties or really bring anybody else in the defensive backfield. But he remains someone that they have a lot of interest in. They just want to see kind of how things shake up over the next couple of weeks. But very, very complimentary towards Sky.
During this time, a guy like Solo or Sky, they can sign with any team, right? I mean, as far as a tryout, another camp is concerned, or even a free agent deal.
Yes, they can. There's a couple camps this week. San Diego has one. Kansas City has one. And so right now our efforts are trying to focus, getting them a shot there. Those camps may be close to full, but you never totally know. If not, you pitch into all 32 and see the chips fall where they may. You take a look at some other leagues. If that's in the works, you take a look at a lot of different options.
Jordan Leslie might, in my opinion, be the most talented guy coming out of this class. I think he deserved to be drafted. But then again, had he gone in the seventh or sixth round, I don't know if he would have gotten the same opportunity that he is getting currently with the Vikings. I've chatted with a number of different former football players that say, you know what, sometimes it's better just to not get drafted, and then you can choose exactly where you're going to go. Tell us how Jordan Leslie performed. What did you hear coming out of that camp?
Jordan Leslie did great. If you look kind of how things shaped up recently, the Vikings, they actually let go of a receiver. And, you know, they're feeling pretty comfortable where they're sitting in terms of the receivers that they got there. You know, heard nothing but great things about Jordan. And I firmly believe that he's got every opportunity to make that team and has more than enough ability to do so.
We had read a report on our show kind of chronicling the process of the draft and how Jordan was somewhat frustrated in not getting drafted. There was a team that I think called him in maybe the fourth or fifth round, had told him that, hey, they were going to draft, and they ended up not drafting him. Can you tell us more about that process and why Jordan was so frustrated, and what did you talk to him about in order to kind of calm him down?
I mean, that's pretty common. I mean, you know, a lot of teams will call, not call, and, you know, that's part of the job, you know, is saying, hey, look, a lot of teams are going to feign interest. A lot of teams are going to maybe show interest. Maybe it's one scout that's showing interest. Maybe it's one positional coach that's showing interest. And there's an internal struggle on the team end and who and what they're going to kind of do. And so part of your job is to kind of say, hey, look, just, you know, sit tight. Things will be okay. We're going to put you in the best situation to succeed. Phone calls are one thing, but actually calling and making the draft pick is another. And, you know, in the end, that's what happened. And as it's playing out right now, Jordan's in an awesome place. When the placement was done, it was to a place where you know, there were very, very few receivers on the roster. In fact, some of his ex-coaches from UTEP were there, and we felt it was the optimal place for him to succeed.
Evan, it sounds like there's a lot of moving parts to your job. What do you enjoy the most about what you do and working with some of these young guys?
You know, I actually like sitting down with them and explaining the process early on when I'm recruiting. That's probably my favorite part. Is telling young men, hey, look, here's what I have to offer. It may be different than other people. Here's what I can do for you. And just kind of seeing the whole process work out. A lot of times I work with guys that to the public eye aren't very big deals. Kind of helping them all the way to the end product's really, really fulfilling for me. So finding, I guess, diamonds in the rough, if you will, and mature to their full potential is really, really, really gratifying for me.
Evan Brennan, Director of Football Operations at Seven Sports Group, on with us here at Cougar Sports ESPN 960. Twitter question coming from some of our listeners. They ask, what can BYU do in order to get more young men drafted into the NFL, in your opinion?
That's a tough question. There's a lot of moving parts as far as that goes. I mean, I think BYU's done a really good job. I've seen it firsthand. I think they've done a good job in kind of building up some of their rapport with NFL teams. I think this draft class will help that. I know I like the direction that Coach Holiday and Coach Atuai have really taken with having some close connections in the NFL. The more and more that you can get coaches, you know, credible with teams in the NFL, I think that'll help. The mission age, getting players younger and younger and younger, I think that will help. And we're aware of that with players. Speed is going to help a lot. Mental edge, I like the way the new strength conditioning programs are going. A lot of times you hear things about there not being a strong enough mental edge at BYU, but I think with Coach Mendenhall and with the new strength and conditioning coach, I think you'll see more speed, and I think you'll see a stronger mental edge that I think NFL teams will like.
I want to go back to Jordan Leslie just because he's a prospect that really intrigues me. And, you know, in that in that particular article that I was reading, Leslie was adamant that he needed to go to the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't know why. Can you break that down for us? Why did Leslie want to go to that particular team? And is that a common theme amongst these young athletes? They think that they know the exact place where they need to go.
It can't happen that way. I mean, in that particular instance, I mean, again, I'm trying to remember the exact details. It was a busy day. I mean, players can have preferences, and you explain, hey, look, if you go there, you know, here are your chances. Here's how that depth chart looks. These are how many bodies you're going to have to fight through. That's going to be a tougher road, whereas if you go here, there's relationships that exist. You'll get a better look. You know, there's less bodies to fight through. Here's who we've spoken to here. And, you know, once those things are adequately explained, you know, I work with intelligent young men, people that are smart, people that in the end know what they're doing. And once you cast emotion aside, I mean, it's an easy choice. It's an easy decision. But a lot of times, you know, the agent's really kind of in charge of that. I mean, the definition of an agent is very much acting on behalf of another. And so in that moment, when offers are literally coming and going by the second, you got to have trust to the people who know what they're doing and put them in the best place. And so in the end, it worked out fine, and I think everyone's okay for the better.
When you're chatting with these guys, you mentioned, and I'm piggybacking off Darnell's question, why you do what you do and how you sell your message. But what sets you apart from other agents out there that are trying to accomplish the same thing you are?
Well, in particular, the BYU players, I'm an alumnus of BYU. I come from a similar background in terms of where some of the players come from BYU. And so if we're talking specifically to BYU players, I've been through a lot of the same things that these BYU players have been through. Some of these coaches I know very, very personally, and I've had relationships with them for a long time. And so I can relate to them very well. And when, you know, you're dealing with a player and having to sell them to NFL teams, it helps having a similar perspective. And a lot of times BYU players have very, very unique and different life experiences and perspectives based on what stereotypically goes on with BYU players. And selling up to NFL teams appropriately, showcasing their strengths, showcasing what they can bring to the table. If you're not well acquainted with that culture, it can be difficult, but if you are, it can be extremely advantageous.
Not that I'm looking to get into becoming an agent, nor would I ever want to go to school again. How saturated is the market right now as far as agents are concerned? Is this something that, I mean, I know there's more, you know, football players playing football than ever. You know, more, I guess, NFL teams, more CFL teams. The Arena League's coming back strong. You know, maybe there's some, you know, NFL Europe going on. I don't know. But what's the market like for an agent? Is it saturated?
Well, I mean, it's about to be an agent, you have to have at least a master's degree. You have to sit for a written exam. You have to fly out to Washington, D.C. It probably is the most difficult process of any agent for any other professional sport. It's not prohibitive, but the NFL Players Association, which governs agents, does a good job in trying to keep out riffraff. But even having said that, there's about 1,000 NFLPA certified contract advisors, which is the technical term for an agent. And I believe about 25% of agents control about 75% of the market. Most agents, if you look at it strictly numerically, don't have a single client in the NFL. And it can be a little cutthroat and very, very competitive. In terms of saturation, yeah, it can be. But when you recruit, and you kind of go up against the same kind of guys. And, there's just kind of different classes and different takes on how to be an agent. But yes, there are a lot more agents than there are actually agents that are actually have a profound impact on the market, if that makes any sense.
Going back on to something that you said earlier in the interview and something that Bronco Mendenhall has talked about, and it's been a source of debate on our show, but you mentioned that you think the mission age is definitely affecting the way that BYU is perceived in the NFL. Older you get, the more likely maybe you are to get injured. You're not as much time to I don't know. I mean, there's a number of different issues why they view it poorly. But what do you recommend, or how does BYU address this issue? How do players, how do agents address this issue that you guys are facing?
Well, I mean, here's how it works, at least from my point of view. You know, the NFL teams, unless you're a very, very high-round draft pick, you're going to be developmental. And it's a lot easier to develop a 22, 23-year-old than it is a 25, 26-year-old. Just if you're talking about the athletic ability, there's a ceiling on those types of individuals. So if you're
but where are they getting that data, though? I mean, how is it that a 22-year-old, as compared to a 25-year-old, I mean, is this physiological data that they're getting and stating that a 25-year-old has, you know, 25% less testosterone and HGH, so they're not going to be able to heal as well? I'm just wondering where they're getting it from.
A lot of it, yes, some of that, and some of it's a straight opinion. I'll be honest with you, some of it is physiological, and some of it's a straight opinion. Some of this is based in concrete hard fact, and some of it's more based in this is our opinion, and we have the gold, so we'll make the rules, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I'm still trying to put my finger on it, and no one really knows, quite honestly. You know, I look at a guy like Wanyunga. He doesn't get drafted. He's older. He was like 25 coming out. Ruptures his ACL in his last game, sits out a year, and then he got signed by the Giants.
That's right. I think the teams would be more willing to spend a draft pick or a higher end selection on someone they felt had a higher developmental ceiling. I think that's generally the consensus. Whether I personally agree with that or not is a totally different story.
Yeah, Evan. As always, we appreciate you coming on with us. Thanks for giving us an update. Good luck to all the guys that you are representing. I'm sure you got a couple of gems. You found some diamonds in the rough, definitely in your signings this offseason. So congratulations to you, and continued luck to you as well.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it, Ben.
There you have it. Evan Breton, the Director of Football Operations at Seven Sports Group.